This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Yankees get the split in their first seven-inning doubleheader of the year and of the week, for that matter. Lost the opener 11-7 to the Phillies, but they bounce back with the 3-1 win in the nightcap. It is Savages in the Box. I'm Chris Carlin. And what's so impressive about the nightcap win? The fact that the Yankees couldn't do much against Aaron Nola at all. He was at the absolute top of his game, struck out 12 over six innings, only made one mistake, and that was to Luke Voit in the second inning when he hung a curveball on the first pitch. Other than that, he was just nearly unhittable for the rest of the way. But then the Yankees got him out in the seventh inning. Tommy Hunter came on in relief, and it didn't go well for Mr. Hunter. Did not record an out. Leadoff single to Giancarlo Stanton, followed by Luke Voit with a single. First and second, nobody out. Mike Talkman at the plate worked the count to 3-2, and Talkman delivered with a double to right center field to put the Yankees up for good.
Really, really, really good. He's been putting together a lot of good at-bats here early, whatever role it's been, whether he's gotten a start here and there, whether it's coming in off the bench, a lot similar to what we saw all year last year. It's just understanding of the strike zone, got himself into a really good count in a big spot, and got off his best swing of the night. So it was a big time at bat.
What was Talkman looking for in that situation?
Just trying to be aggressive in the big part of the strike zone. We had a rally going, and you don't want to be the guy that kind of kills the rally in a big spot. So just want to have a good bat, good at bat. Just try to stay relaxed, stay in the middle of the field. Obviously Nola was doing a really good job keeping us off balance kind of all game. That's what it's kind of his MO. He did a good job with that. So, just knowing that probably we were going to have, a chance to kind of have an inning there, it was, important just to stay calm, execute your approach, and good pitch hit.
Grinding one out on a night like this against a guy like Nola, pretty good for Aaron Boone.
It's not always going to be easy. And today, against Wheeler and Nola, you're up against two really good ones. Some nights it's going to be a struggle, but to hang in there and then just have some really good winning at bats late in the game was huge. Really that entire inning, a number of winning at bats.
And they were in a position to win this game because their bullpen was absolutely brilliant. They went with the opener in Jonathan Loaisiga, and he came through, just gave up the one run in 2 1/3 innings. But after that, bullpen absolutely shut the door. Chad Green with 2 1/3 scoreless. Yankees didn't give up a hit after Jonathan Loaisiga. Luis Avalon, Green, Adam Ottavino, Zach Britton all shut the door the rest of the way. As on a whole, the bullpen in the night game. 4 2/3 innings, didn't allow a hit, a run, a walk, struck out four. Pretty impressive stuff for Zach Britton.
I think a lot of pride, obviously. What Greeny did, obviously low starting the game for us too in the second one, but what Greeny did was really, really impressive, and part of the reason why we won that game. The mindset of the bullpen is, a guy, Lowe starts off doing really well. You want to go in there and do your part, do your job, and keep it as close as possible, because we know our offense is going to score runs. And if we can keep it close, and good things are going to happen for us.
Save number five of the year for Britton. Ottavino got the win in relief. And Green was quick to really praise the job that Loaisiga did as the opener.
He's done a great job, and I think his stuff fits that profile the best on our staff right now. I mean, he's got swing and miss stuff, and he's got electric stuff. And for him to be able to maybe run through a lineup at least once and maybe twice if he's going good, there's not many guys that are able to do that. But we also have the luxury of having Otto and Britt and Chappie when he's back in the back end of the pen, which allows us to use him in those first couple innings.
Now, with the win, it puts them at 9-2. And you may scoff at this, considering we're just 11 games into the season. But the Yankees already have a 4-game lead in the American League East. And that's incredibly important with the start that they've gotten out to. 5-6 are the Orioles so far. The Blue Jays are 4-5. You may not think very much of it, but the point is this. In a 60-game season, You couldn't ask for a better situation to begin the year with. Yes, it's what they're supposed to do, but the point is they are doing it. And as Aaron Boone points out, it doesn't necessarily matter what the talent level is all the time.
Get off to a good start, and obviously we have a lot of good players and we have such a prolific offense, but the bottom line is it's not going to be easy every night, and you're got to find a way. Tonight was a perfect example of that. I mean, you know, some really good defensive plays. I thought Labor at shortstop was outstanding all night long. You know, obviously the bullpen coming in, and even Loaisiga, you know, his pitch count got so high and in danger of really getting away from him there in the first, but he kind of manages along and holds him at bay. And then the bullpen came in and really held him down to give us a chance to finally break through. And it was a really an all around winning effort coming off of a tough first game.
All right, game one, that was a mess. It was easily the worst game that the Yankees have played this season. 11-7, the final score. It was 11-3 until they actually came back and scored some runs later to make it interesting. Aaron Judge had a three-run bomb late in the game to bring it closer. The Yankees, though, in this game, were just sloppy. They just played poor baseball in a couple of instances. Base running, Kyle Higashioka got picked off doubled off of first, and his fielding wasn't good. Dropped the throw from Torres at shortstop. They weren't turning double plays. It just was not a crisp game at all. And speaking of which, a big part of that was Jay Happ. Three innings, six walks. Aaron Boone, what happened?
It seemed like he had a hard time getting it to the arm side. I thought his mix of pitches and stuff looked crisp enough as far as his fastball. I thought the slider and changeup were all right. It just, you know, a little tough to tell from the side, but it looked like he had a hard time getting to the arm side with command. You know, nibbling a couple times, thinking when he needed to get back in the zone, he could. But obviously that, you know, that was the difference. The stuff's coming out fine. You know, even the secondary, the changeup and the slider were good today. You're just not going to have those days where a Jay Happ, you know, loses the strike zone like that and walks guys. So obviously can't have that, but to try and take a little solace in that the ball's coming out well.
Six walks over those three innings. Did I mention six walks in three innings? Three hits, he was charged with four earned runs and had one strikeout, gave up a home run in the game. That was to Bryce Harper in that third inning. But you heard in that answer from Aaron Boone, him talk about, you just don't see Jay Happ walk six guys. It's a subtle reference to who was behind the plate. And that was Angel Hernandez.
The worst.
Just absolutely the worst, as we know. And look, Happ was bad, okay? But there were some instances where he was not getting a whole lot of help, especially when he thought he was hitting the quarters. In fact, he was sure of it.
Well, I did hit some and didn't get it. I mean, that's just a fact. But, you know, that happens is what, you know, that's part of the game and I got to move on. And that's what I mean by after that, I got to get back in the zone and continue to make pitches. Normally, I take pride in being able to do that. And, you know, today I didn't.
And late in the game, Phil Nevin actually got ejected by Angel Hernandez for screaming about the strike zone that the Yankees were dealing with. As usual, just the worst.
The worst.
Did I mention he's the worst? He is the absolute worst. Back to Happ. It couldn't have been all about Angel Hernandez. So, Jay, what went wrong?
Not sure. I tried to be aggressive throughout, maybe trying a little too hard. I thought I made some pitches and then didn't get the benefit of doubt and then wasn't able to get back in the zone with some other ones. But yeah, six walks, obviously, that was the story. I got to make them put the ball in play. I felt like when I was doing that, things were going good. The contact wasn't too hard. So got to force the issue better than I did today.
Well, the other problem, though, is when you're playing a doubleheader, even if they're seven-inning games, you have to get further into the game than three innings, especially when you're going to go with an opener in the second game. Now, Jonathan Holder was fine for his inning, but then Nick Nelson came on for an inning and two third. And again, as Hap was referencing, the contact on Nelson wasn't that bad. The problem was there were seven hits. They dropped in. He gave up six earned runs, seven runs altogether, and that's when the game absolutely got away from the Yankees. All right, takeaways, and the first one is no mystery, and it's obviously a major concern at this point. Who's going to be that reliable third starter? You have Paxton, who is really struggling right now, and frankly, I wouldn't say concerned about his health, but they are giving him as much time off between starts as they can. Between starts one and two, he had a full week off, and obviously what happened with the Phillies last week was a big part of that. But this week, they are giving him 6 days off in between starts. So I wonder if they think that it's just a matter of being able to strengthen his back a little bit more to get some of that back. They're talking more mechanically, but I have to wonder if Paxton is back to 100%, if he is going to build his way back up to get that velocity back up. I think the extra rest here does say something about that, so it's absolutely worth monitoring. So if it's not going to be Hap and it's not going to be Paxton, is it going to be Jordan Montgomery? Now, we'll see Montgomery on Thursday night, but as much as we loved what we saw in his first outing of the year, it's asking a lot, isn't it, for somebody that hasn't pitched in 2 years to really step up and be that third guy. After Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka, it is a crapshoot, and it can't consistently be a crapshoot throughout these 60 games. Takeaway number two, boy, this offense is ridiculous. And I know that we already knew that. But did you know that the Yankees have homered in 11 straight games to start the season for the first time in club history? I mean, that, when you think about all of the teams in the glorious history of this organization, and it's the first time they've ever done it, that's absolutely nuts. Just nuts. Luke Voit knows it.
This lineup is just tremendous, deadly. You know, we're called the Bronx Bombers for a reason, and it doesn't matter who's pitching, what game, where we're at, you know, at home or, you know, here or on the West Coast. It's anytime. It doesn't matter. 0-0, 3-0, 0-2, whatever. You know, guys can always do damage, and we're looking to do damage.
Well, what's particularly encouraging is the fact that you had a night like tonight in the nightcap where you couldn't get anything going against a really good pitcher. But then when you got him out of the ball game and you were patient, and as Mike Talkman talked about earlier, you were not overreacting to the fact that you weren't getting hits in your approach at the plate. Well, the good things happen, and they eventually do happen when you have this kind of an offense. And the Yankees have a look to them about being more clutch than they have in recent years. We talk so much about the home runs, I understand that. But just look at how that whole inning unfolded. Yeah, okay, it's against Tommy Hunter, but Stanton and Voit, they weren't trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. They were trying to get on base. They were trying to get base hits, and that's exactly what happened. And it gives the opportunity for a guy like Talkman to deliver for them. I think the clutch aspect for the Yankees, even though they haven't played great teams so far, has been dialed up a notch for them this season. And I think that's something that you have to feel really good about right now. All right, another takeaway, not such a good one, and that's the struggles of Gleyber Torres and Gary Sanchez at the plate. Gleyber Torres is now 5-for-34 on the season with 8 strikeouts, and Sanchez 2-for-27 with 16 strikeouts. For Sanchez, this has the look of the slumps that we have seen from years past where he just can't seem to get out of his own way, but it's not a 2-week slump. It's not a 3-week slump. It could be a 5-week slump. You hope that that's not the case. The good news is there's so much around him that's going to cover for him. And the other good news is that he has played exceptionally well defensively. One thing to monitor, though, later today,
is the fact that he got hit by Tommy Hunter in that seventh inning, right square on the elbow. And it is something that Aaron Boone is paying attention to.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it seems like he got it in that spot where I've gotten it a number of times that it can swell up and stiffen up on you. So we'll just have to see how it is in these coming hours and then overnight what it feels like tomorrow. I'm not worried that it's necessarily an injury, but I am worried that it's something that could stiffen up and have an effect on him for a day or two.
They have really been very impressed with what he has done behind the plate. That's been a bright spot so far for Sanchez. But for him and Torres, offensively, the Yankees are obviously going to need them at some point here to snap out of it, and pretty soon with the shortened season. All right, we put out a poll question during the game on Twitter, at Chris Carlin, at C-H-R-A-S-C-A-R-L-I-N. And it was simply this: which one is most likely to become the reliable third starter that the Yankees need? Jordan Montgomery, off of his one start thus far, getting the majority of the votes at 64%. 28% for James Paxton. Jay Happ all the way down at 8%. There is very little faith in Happ, and understandably so, based upon what we've seen so far, as we discussed earlier. All right, other Yankee news and notes you have to know about. Tommy Canley had his Tommy John surgery on Tuesday. All went according to plan. Aroldis Chapman was scheduled to throw his first bullpen out at Scranton on Wednesday, but the one thing to keep in mind is they're going to have him throw a couple of times and then throw to live hitters, so he is not on his way back here anytime soon. Aaron Boone was asked about the fact that late in the game, in the seventh inning of game two, he opted to run for Luke Voit as opposed to running for Giancarlo Stanton, and pointed out Stanton's been running so well, there's no need to run for him right now. Remember what we were talking about the other day, the fact that he has lost that 20 pounds since back in spring training. And lastly, in case you missed it, Major League Baseball announced that the rosters, which were initially supposed to go from 30 to 28 down to 26, well, they're going to stay at 28. That begins later today. The rosters will be trimmed from 30 to 28, but they will stay there. You will be allowed a 29th player for doubleheaders, so the Yankees will be afforded that this weekend in the doubleheader against the Rays. And then your taxi squad, which had been three players, will be expanded to five players. So it gives you more flexibility should there be any issue with COVID-19. You won't be scrambling at the last minute trying to figure things out. Okay, pitching schedule for the rest of the week. It's going to be Jordan Montgomery, his second start of the season later on today down in Philadelphia. He is matched up with Zach Eflin. Eflin was supposed to pitch against the Yankees last week before those games were wiped out. Montgomery, 5 2/3, 5 hits. One run, struck out 4, walked 1 in the win over the Red Sox last weekend. Friday night, start number 2 for Masahiro Tanaka. That will come down in Tampa. You would expect that pitch count to get well north of 60, hopefully closer to 70. On Saturday, the doubleheader. Gerrit Cole will go in the opener, and then the Yankees will turn to an opener in the nightcap against the Rays before James Paxton will be back on the mound on Sunday. And there's going to be an awful lot of eyes on that one to see if he's making any progress whatsoever, not just into velocity, but in just getting people out. Wouldn't that be a nice little change of pace? All right, that does it for the Thursday edition of Savages in the Box. I'm Carlin. We'll see you tomorrow morning. We out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.